wonderful reminder to us how powerful and magnificent He is. Let's go to the Lord be in an attitude of prayer. Lord, how magnificent is Your name. We worship You. We worship Your majesty. We worship Your love. We are grateful for Your presence. And Lord, we thank You for bringing us here today. Thank You for Your love for us. Your love that is a promise that we each can stand on each moment of the day. Thank You for all of the blessings that You give us. Thank You for the people around us to encourage us and cheer us on and walk with us on this journey with You. Most merciful Lord, enable us to live as Your people. Enable us to live as Your beloved people. As people who trust in Your promises and obey Your commands through the saving power of the shed blood of Jesus. And as we consider those times and places in our lives where we have been separated from You or separated ourselves from You, Lord, please help us to remember to confess our sins to You, standing on the promise that You forgive us our sins and You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to stand on Your promises and to joyfully live obediently with You. Lord, empower us and help us by Your Holy Spirit to reach out to other people and offer them Your life and Your hope that comes only through faith in Jesus. As we think of those friends and loved ones in our lives who are sick and who are struggling, we ask that You please heal them. Please provide the care that they need and physically heal them. For those who are in grief or despair, by Your Spirit, please comfort them. Please help them by Your Spirit to know that they are in the grip of Your presence because You love them. Give them the wisdom that they need. Reassure their hope in You. And for those who are separated from You, Lord, please bring them to repentance and salvation. Help them to turn to You for forgiveness of their sins and to invite You to make them whole and clean before You. Please save their souls. Touch their hearts and their spirits and help them to reach out to You. Lord, we ask also that You be with the believers around the world who worship with us this day. Be with the missionaries who always tell others about You and who sometimes suffer for speaking out. Help us to be like the missionaries and help us to tell others about You. And we ask, Lord, that You please grant those who love You and trust in You the peace and the faith to continue to trust You in all their ways and to trust in Your presence and Your love for them in the midst of all of the trials. Please be with the leaders of this world and help them to put You first as they make decisions that affect so many. Please bless our president and those who work to help him. Please be with people all around the world to turn to You for Your wisdom and Your love and Your understanding. Be with those who have lost their homes or their loved ones. Please guide and hold the families of this hurting world. Please bring peace to war-torn countries, and we ask that You bring peace to Israel. Grant them freedom and justice, and enable this whole world to declare their love for You and their allegiance to You as the only God and only Savior of this world. We ask, Father, that You hear our prayers in the name and to the glory of Jesus, who is the Lord and only Savior of this world. And hear us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I enjoy taking a moment to look around and see all of the reasons that God gives us to be grateful. Each one of you are a reason to be grateful to God. Each one of you here worshiping and the ways you engage in ministry, both within the congregation and helping us to extend God's love beyond the congregation through our outreaches and through our ministries, through our words of welcome and all that we do. You are a blessing, and your trust in God's provision shows up whenever you show up. Your trust in God's provision shows God off when you give generously of your time and your treasures and your talents and your tithes. You are a blessing of God to so many people. And it's because of your trust in God and your faithful obedience to God that we truly can celebrate God's majesty. I invite you to listen to Casey as she plays Enter Into This Time of Worship as the ushers pass the plates through and you continue to give generously for the ministries of our church. Lord, we do praise you. We are so grateful for this time to worship you. We're so grateful for the opportunity to keep our eyes focused on you and keep our hearts in tune with you. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that leads us and guides us and provides for us. And thank you for the courage that you give us to give generously back out of all of the abundance with which you have blessed us. Bless these tithes and offerings. Whether they're given here in person or online, we ask your blessing on each gift and on each giver, that all that we do is truly in obedience to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to join together in our next song that's called Open My Eyes That I May See. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18, is a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hear a siren out there. Let's take a moment. God, please bless whoever's hurting in trouble and whoever's watching out for them. And please bring glory to your name. Amen. It seems rather obvious to say, but I've found out that it's not obvious. In a Christ-centered church, we learn the truths of the Bible. We learn that accepting Jesus as our Savior is the only way that we can have a relationship with God that results in souls being saved and eternity in heaven made secure. In a Christ-centered church, we learn that we are individually saved by God's grace through faith. Faith is what we believe. Grace is when God freely gives an undeserved gift to us. That's what we learn in a Christ-centered church. When Peter said that Jesus is the Son of God, that was faith. Each individual must come to his or her own conclusion as to whether or not Jesus is the Son of God and, in effect, God. If Jesus' lordship were proven to us beyond any kind of a doubt, there would be no faith involved. And it is by faith in Jesus that we're saved. Jesus reveals to Peter that Peter's faith, which he might otherwise be proud of, was God's gift of grace. Our faith is also God's gift of grace. So if you want somebody to be saved, as you are thinking about the people that you know in your life, if you want someone to be saved, if you want to introduce someone to Jesus, tell God. Pray for their salvation. Tell them about who Jesus is and how Jesus has made a difference in your life. And then God will work through you. Put faith in Jesus before your deeds. Put prayer before your work and your witness, and ask Jesus to give you a burden for the souls of others. The question Jesus asked the disciples is a question that each one of us must also answer. Who do you say Jesus is? Another way to say that is, do I really believe? Do I really believe that there's a heaven and a hell? Do I really believe that there are real places, and one of them is where I will choose to spend my eternal life? Do I really believe that Jesus is God? And we have to answer those questions. Each one of us have to answer those questions ourselves. And the way that we answer those questions is as obvious as how we live our lives. It's a question that we all answer, one way or another. Now, for me, it's pretty reasonable to figure that since you are here and you are worshiping God, then you have either answered yes to the question of your belief in Jesus, or at least you're considering the possibility. Otherwise, why would you be here? If you truly believe that Jesus is God, and if you have indeed accepted his offer of salvation from sin and eternal death in hell, Jesus offers to save us from both of those, then you've already started on a journey that will take you to eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Peter was the first one to tell Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was the first one to say in front of all of the other disciples that Jesus is God. Peter was the first witness for Jesus. And then Jesus said to Peter, now this response is a paraphrase, this is not a direct quote, but Jesus said to Peter, "You are the first to believe that I am God. Others will believe because you believe, and my church will begin with you." Peter found out that he would have to confess his faith to other people in order for other people to believe. And we have to do that too. We have to tell people about Jesus so that they can come to Jesus for themselves. Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." What that means is we're all born into sin. The gates of Hades, the gates of hell, are the power of sin. The gates of Hades are designed to keep people in. Through his crucifixion and through his resurrection, Jesus busted wide open the gates that would keep us separated from God. Jesus conquered the power of sin, and the power that Christ gives his church, that's us, through the Holy Spirit and through our prayers, is to introduce people to Jesus and to encourage each other in our faith. Jesus gives us that power. So when people meet Jesus, They too have the opportunity to walk away from the gates of hell and be free from the power of sin that holds them. As the church, as Christ followers, we lead people to Jesus while we teach them to follow Jesus. If we don't at least teach people through our witness, through our words and through our actions to obey Jesus, then we're not leading people to Him. As followers of Jesus, we learn that the power of the risen Lord is greater than the power of sin to hold its captives, and it always shall be. A living God walks beside each one of us as we walk in joy-filled obedience to Him. And I found that as I remember that it's the living God who walks beside me, then it becomes an embarrassment to me to disobey God, because I know that God's right beside me. It's important to remember that it is Jesus who provides our salvation through the power of His shed blood. Jesus is the one who is all-powerful. I am weak, but He is strong. Jesus is all-powerful. Only Jesus can tell the wind and the waves to be still and to obey Him. Only Jesus can raise someone from the dead like He raised Lazarus. Only Jesus can heal us of our sin-sick souls. Jesus is God the Son. Jesus alone has the authority and the power to protect us from the lies and the tricks of the devil and to keep us from falling into sin. But we have to walk with Jesus for Him to help us. The living God walks beside us as we walk in obedience to Him. The first step of faith is believing that Jesus is God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 talks about Jesus. Listen to this quote. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The prophet Isaiah calls Jesus the Mighty God. Amen. Jesus is God the Son. You may be surprised by this, but there are lots of people who don't know Jesus. They may know about Jesus. They may know that Jesus is God the Son. They may know about some of the stories in the Bible. They may even come to church, but they don't know Jesus. When we proclaim that we know Jesus, people watch us and they listen to us and they decide from our words and from our actions if the Jesus who we say is in our lives is someone that they want in their lives too. We show people by our words and our actions if the Jesus living in our lives is someone they would want in their lives as well. The living God walks beside us as we walk in obedience to Him, and we are not alone. First step of faith is believing that Jesus is God. The second step of faith is for us to confess our sins to Jesus, believing that He will hear our prayers. Jesus, by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, makes us able to stop sinning against God. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's a quote out of the Bible. If we confess our sins, He will forgive us and cleanse us. God's promise is free. God's promises are true. God is always good for His word. Each one of us have to decide if we are going to confess our sins to Jesus so He can save us from them. Our salvation from sin is a daily process, and for me, it's multiple times through the day that I have to be aware of my sinfulness and confess it. We start each day asking Jesus to help us obey Him and love Him, and then spend the rest of our day walking in the joy of being in the presence of God. The living God walks beside you as the Holy Spirit helps you to walk in joy-filled obedience to God. And then the powerful, loving arms of Jesus will help you and steady you when you face your fears and temptations. And the hands of Jesus will hold you close. I found that many people never make it very far on their journey with Jesus because they put their faith in other people and put their faith in things instead of trusting in Jesus alone to save them. What I found out is that if I don't put my faith in Christ in order for Him to help me to turn from my sins, then I put my faith in mankind and in myself. I begin to put my faith in what other people can do for me, believing that my salvation depends on other people rather than on Christ. That's putting my faith in mankind. I also found that I can't put my faith in myself. I can't put my faith in what I can do for people because your salvation, other people's salvation, does not depend on me. It depends on Christ. Please don't put your faith in yourself. Please don't put your faith in what you can do for other people, because other people's salvation does not depend on you. It depends on Christ. Don't pretend that you are God. You can't save anybody. I can't pretend that I am God because I can't save anybody. God will work through our prayers to save other people. But it's God who saves them. Christ is the one who gave His life on the cross. And Christ's love for them on the cross is what lets them know that God loves them. We tell them. We show them. We introduce them to Jesus. And it's Jesus who saves them. I've learned that I have to be careful to not put my great love for other people as the basis for my faith, instead of Christ's great love for other people as the basis of my faith. Please don't put your faith in someone else's great love for you. Put your faith in Jesus. Stand on the solid ground of God's great eternal love for you. Jesus loves you. You can stand on that. When I was in my early 20s, I knew that it was Jesus' shed blood alone that saved me from my sins. I knew Romans 3:23, which says, and I quote, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." I knew Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast," unquote. I kept living my faith. In spite of knowing all those things, I kept living my faith as though I had to try as hard as I could or I would not go to heaven. I had to be practically perfect in every way. I could not quite grasp Romans 5:1, which promises, listen to this quote, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Unquote. I knew about God, but I did not have the peace of God. And I found, and maybe you have too, that when a Christ follower takes his or her eyes off of Jesus, we are so easily distracted. Taking our eyes off of Jesus and looking for only our own results, that can lead a church into nothing but a social club. When we don't pray and seek for God to lead us, when we're not obedient to the Holy Spirit guiding us, when we don't wait for the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to His leading, we go off in all sorts of tangents. The scientific ones among us will put our faith in technology and in the money that it takes to buy that technology instead of putting our faith in Christ. The political ones among us will put our faith in people or public institutions that give us money or the government that gives us money instead of putting our faith in Christ and trusting God to provide for our needs. When our faith runs off track like this, then the church can become conformed to the patterns and the fashions of this world. It's an age-old problem. And it's one that every church is in danger of every single day, and it's why we need to be praying and trusting God to lead us and looking for God's leading. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, and I quote, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." That's for us as individuals. That's for us as a church. I'm so grateful for the terrible price Jesus paid to save me from my sins. I'm grateful for the result of Christ's sacrifice. I'm grateful that Jesus is with me and stays with me and guides me and holds me so that I'll never have to be alone again. I've been alone, and I don't like it. I'm glad that Jesus is with me, and I hope that Jesus is with you. Jesus paid the price for our sins. All of our sins, past, present, and future. Jesus loved each one of us enough to go to the cross and sacrifice His life for us. But the love of Jesus didn't stop there. He raised from the dead. You cannot kill God. You cannot kill God's love for you. Jesus physically rose from the grave. He ascended back to heaven. Jesus lives in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. That word Emmanuel that we say at Christmas, that means God with us. That's why God sent His only Son, Jesus, to be with us so we could walk in joy-filled obedience to God each day of our lives. When God saves us from our sins, He doesn't say, "You start, I'll finish." God doesn't say, "You start and I'll watch." God doesn't say, "I'll start and you watch." God says, "Let's go together." Jesus does it with us. Jesus will lead us to the start. Jesus will walk with us. And Jesus will take us to the finish. Jesus makes us able to walk by His side. God saves us by coming to live with us each moment of the day to help us to resist temptation in the good times and to help us to face our fears in the difficult times. Listen to the excerpt from a poem. God does not ask that we take by siege the evil in places high, nor does He expect we surrender all to the forces of evil nigh. But stand, says He, in that evil day, Thy needs I shall supply. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 30, verse 15 says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. Those are two promises to stand on. I remember the story of a little girl who had been sent to her room as a punishment for some infraction of a household rule. As she sat sadly and quietly, her parents listened outside her door, and they could hear her singing, Jesus Loves Me. They could tell that she was reassuring herself in the midst of her loneliness that she was not alone. Finally, her dad knocked on the door, and he asked to go inside. The little girl was sitting on her bed holding her baby doll. Her dad said, are you okay? She responded, yes, Daddy. I'm so glad you came in. Can I hug you? Her dad said, sure, and gave her a huge and very tight hug. When they finished, he said, I heard you singing. And the child said, Daddy, I felt so lonely. I needed to have someone close to me. I knew that Jesus was here, but Daddy, I needed Jesus to have skin on. God doesn't want you to be alone anymore. If you've never invited Jesus into your heart before, if you've never confessed your sins to God before, if God's Spirit has opened your eyes to new sins that you need to take to Him, He promises to help you and heal you. This is a good time to lay your burdens at the cross. You don't have to go it alone. Don't let another day go by. Seek Jesus' help right now. Jesus is here to help you right now. And for those who have already accepted Jesus as your Savior, pray. Ask for God to lead you. And then go and be the skin of Jesus. Let your friends and your neighbors know that God does not want them to be alone anymore either. Go to them with the love and acceptance and arms reaching out and bring them to Jesus. Glory to God. Amen.